Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the Men's Room.
And away we go. Welcome to season 15 and episode number 3,286. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, and Mike Hawk.
Come on.
Montgomery.
And you are in the Men's Room. On tap today, the exciting return of Ted versus the FCC. We will play Profile This, plus headlines, a Men's Room Shout of the Day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Ted.
Clack, clack.
Drinking a drunk. All right, here we go. Iowa mom gives birth to a beautiful baby boy that she did not know was inside her. Meanwhile, a Florida woman is arrested after calling 911 four times for a personal chauffeur. Elderly couple held up traffic on a bridge while riding their motorized scooters on the road. A store owner catches a jogger behind a store dropping a bowel-gurgling load. And if you stole a stripper pole from the Lovers in Tequila at 2 o'clock this afternoon, they have your license plate number. And they also know your Lovers membership number. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
They have a membership at Lovers.
They got the number of that, too.
Okay. Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, a new survey told us what we've all suspected. 30% of people who don't live with a partner, they've broken quarantine for some sexy time. Now, I'm shocked that the number is actually that low. In fact, we got an email from a guy who works with a guy who's getting tested for COVID after that guy decided to have sex with a woman who tested positive for COVID. And sex isn't the only reason people sneak in or sneak out. And COVID is not the only reason people are in isolation. People break out of prison. Kids sneak out of the house. Or sometimes we actually sneak in. In California, a guy broke into a house, not to rob it, but to take a shower. Now, in spite of his regard for hygiene, it's still a crime and he was still arrested. And know what else is a crime? Sneaking past security to try to board a plane that you don't have a ticket for. Well, we all know that, but a woman in Orlando, she tried to do exactly that. It didn't work, and much like the very clean robber, she too was arrested. But today we're talking about sneaking in, sneaking out, sneaking around. There's always a reason. Look, when you were a kid, a teenager probably, you probably did it a million times. Depending on your lifestyle, as an adult, I found it's less likely that you tried to sneak out of somewhere, but more like tried to sneak back in the house quietly so they don't realize you got home at 3:30 in the morning and reek of booze. But today, we have a very simple question for you. It's simply this. Why were you sneaking in or out of somewhere?
Be a part of the big show. Call 206-421-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. Text 77999 and send your emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Home of Charles, and away we go. Yeah. Welcome to season 15, episode number 3,286.
Welcome to a lovely holiday inn. My name is Johnny Thunder. Restaurants are located right back there.
Welcome to a positive Friday, everybody.
Positive.
Yeah, and Steve just informed everybody that he might poop himself live on the air, so stay tuned for that.
Just be cool.
Just run out of here if you got to do it.
I don't think I'll have time.
That will really bring down our positive Friday experience, I believe.
I can't explain what's happening inside of me, but if it's inside of me, it wants to be outside of me.
Big show for you today, a guaranteed future repeat as we have the exciting return today of Ted versus the FCC. We'll see if Ted can get one back in the win column. And as we get the news that all kinds of things are going down with the COVID-19 in the form of states that are opening, states that are reopening, and the news continually changes depending on where you are. Florida and Texas shut down all their bars, I believe, as of today.
Oh, June 26th.
Once they opened up, Florida had 4,500 cases just the other day, and that was their largest single number ever. And then just yesterday went to 9,000. Everyone went, whoa, and Texas did the same thing. So, you know, a mask are a big deal, and still, as far as places go, in different phases as far as what you can go out and do. But we've all snuck out or snuck in to various things in our
life. Hell yeah.
And the one thing that I think is most important to remember, just like on any voyage or any adventure you do, you know, getting there is one thing. Getting back is another.
And that's the real trick.
And the most important thing is, you know what I mean? Like, look, we've had plenty of callers who, like anything else, who are on military bases and they have X amount of time, or maybe they're not supposed to do anything. And sneaking out is one thing, and you get out and you have a really good time. But then the key is to get back. And
yeah, I've never heard any of those guys, especially the military bases.
Yeah,
right? You got to go out and you get tore up with your friends. None of them have ever said it was difficult to escape.
Sure, sure.
All of the concern was now getting back to the base without being noticed.
Now, when I was in college, what they would do in August, they would put us up in a hotel room, and we would do basically a month in this hotel, and we're getting set for the football season. School's not really in session yet. We were not, the coaches wanted to keep us close at bay, so everybody was in a hotel room. It's kind of like, you know, when you do your camp or whatever. We were in our own camp, and we had curfew, and we had all those things going on, and one of the things that was mandatory was that at either 10 or 11 o'clock, we all had to be accounted for. There was a knock on your door, you know. Herzog, Montgomery, you know, Bradley, are you in there? Yeah, guys. Yeah, coach, we're here. They'd open the door. All right, guys. Remember, it's early morning, blah, blah, blah.
Did they wait to hear all four of you, or what?
They would walk in. They would check. They had a clipboard. It's like being in first grade, right? You know what I mean? They'd want to make sure you're there. Okay, so, but, you know, like anything else, the way that that our situation went, we knew we would have to lift in the morning, the specialists, the kickers, and all that stuff. We weren't really doing anything focused as far as in-action stuff the next day. It was our day off. They were doing those types of specialists. They were doing kickoff return.
my buddy can kick off. It's fine. He can boot a football. He's just not having to make any field goals.
Sure.
We're like, all right, man, we got this. You know, we're going to go to Tailgaters. And Tailgaters was about a mile away. And Tailgaters was...
You don't have to describe what the bar was. The name says it.
Tailgaters.
Yes, sure.
Tailgaters.
Tailgaters. I mean, I feel like every town has a Tailgaters.
Yeah.
And I've been to them all.
So we had the plan. We're going to go to Tailgaters. And this is going to be great. We're going to finally get some beers. We're 3 weeks into this hotel. You know, it's just like, this is driving us nuts. It's two practices, multiple meetings every day. You know what I mean? You can't get out of this. But it's kind of like the worst quarantine ever.
Right.
Because they're physically...
Because you have to exercise
too. Beating the living hell out of it, you know? And so we have a mission. And tonight, it was like 2 days away from the last night that we were going to have to stay in this hotel. So we figured things are kind of getting on the lax into things. Almost ready for the season. Okay, we're going to move into our apartments or our dormitories or whatever the deal is. So we sneak off and we get out and we're on our way to Tailgaters. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we can't walk on the main road because the main road, you know what I mean? If anybody were having to pull in or pull out from the coaching staff or whatever, we're screwed. So, but we know how to get there. So we take the back roads, as the commercial says, on foot, you know, and we start walking to Tailgaters. Now we get to Tailgaters, whatever time it is, close to midnight, 11:30, not exactly sure. I open the door and I look at the bar. And there are four coaches there.
Of course.
Sitting down, drinking beer. I immediately back up and close the door. I've got two guys behind me, okay? So, all right. Now, the problem here is not so much that we couldn't drink. The problem is now getting back to the hotel. Because the way that we got out of the hotel was a door that closed, and it was like an emergency exit that shut.
Right, so it locks on the outside.
Correct.
Right?
We were planning on coming back late enough, like 2 o'clock in the morning when the bar closed, that we could walk through the front lobby and get back in. So now we come back to the hotel. Well, there's coaches in the lobby. Because we're at one of those, you know, Sheraton places that have like a little restaurant in there. They have a bar.
But it's all in the lobby.
It's all in the lobby, right? Now we cannot get back into the hotel. So basically what we had to do was just kind of sit outside and wait for those guys to leave. And every like 15 minutes we peek in, like, he got another beer. Coach got another beer. Like, oh my God, they're not leaving. You know what I mean? And we couldn't get back in.
Turns when you out, get to coach, that's part of bed check. You get to sit up and drink beer.
Yeah, you do.
That's why you're doing the bed check.
Right, exactly. But we had to just, they had to leave the lobby. Like, we couldn't, how are we expected to walk, you know, like, in the front door? We're dressed. Like, when they came
right,
to the
so
hotel.
So there's no lie you're going
to
tell.
When they came to the hotel room, we're in what they give us, like, it's like, you know, issued clothes. They're called grays. It's basically, yeah. You know, everybody's wearing the same, you know, practice stuff. We got jeans on. We have tennis shoes on. You know what I mean? We got dress shirts on. I mean, we do not look like we just walked out of the room for a second, you know? So we basically just stood out there and then waited till 2:30 in the morning to be able to sneak back in. We did not get busted for that.
Where did you go? Did you just hide behind the hedges?
We went back behind the parking lot and just sat on a hill and waited, and somebody would go and sneak around commando, like, you know, do a little check to see if those guys were still at the bar. And it was like four guys, and it was like two guys, and two guys stay together. Then now the one guy's talking to the bartender.
Right.
He's not finishing his beer.
Which is almost worse.
It just like,
because now you're not at the bar, but you're also not in your hotel room. Now you're just sitting outside.
Right.
Now you're just outside watching other people drink.
And if we get busted, we never got, you know, it's one thing to get busted and you're drunk, or at least you got your beers in your, or whatever. Like, oh, I'm sorry.
Sure.
But at least you got a buzz on. We just sat outside all night.
Sober.
Right. We couldn't do anything about it. And seriously, if we'd have just stayed in a hotel at that point in time, if we weren't drinking, we would have been asleep. We were still exhausted. You know what I mean?
Of course.
We would have been laying down and in bed. But, yeah, that was just nerve-wise, because those coaches were just so militant.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Like, you knew that if you got caught, it wasn't like someone yelling at you or any of that stuff. Like, you could look up at the stadium and go, we're going to run that entire top tier.
Right. That's the difference.
I mean, every step. We're going to run every step in that stadium. We know what happens to people who get in trouble. Because they're there before we are running steps. You know what I mean? We know who these guys are. Academically, whatever, you know, like, why are you running steps? It's always a coach like, go, 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 go. One single guy yelling at a guy. It's the last thing that we wanted. Thank God that didn't happen. But, man, my heart was beating. I still remember it was like sweating.
Ours were always called, because we were the Dematha Stags.
Mm.
So if you were late or whatever, they were stag reminders.
Stag reminders.
Right. So when you finish practice, you, like, same thing. You'd see those dudes out there running extra gassers. You're just like, oh, God, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as an adult, I have not really had to sneak around, but it's ridiculous. But my son, when he was one, my daughter, She's very independent, always has been. All right, my son, I mean, from the day he was born, dude, is attached. He's a homebody, he's a loyalist, that is his life, that's how he is. But he's a baby, so you don't realize this yet. And some kids, when you put them down, they just start screaming and crying, right? So, dude would fall asleep on you as you're watching TV. You go to put him in his crib, and I mean, he'd be dead asleep. You put him in the crib, but as soon as your hand stopped touching him, instantly wake, and I mean, just bawling, right? I mean, screaming, all this stuff. There was nothing you could do, but it was weird. It's like he would scream, and you just put your hand on him, and he would stop crying. And you'd wait for him to fall asleep again. You'd pull your hand off. And it got to the point where we would debate who had to put his ass to bed, because it was, on average, about 40 minutes to get out of the room before he fell asleep. So the room was dark. You'd put him in the crib, all right? And you'd keep your hand on him. And when you finally, and it took at least 10 minutes to get to the point where he would stop screaming, so you would take your hand off him, but there's this one part of the floor that creaked. And dude, if you stepped on it, just this little, he wakes up again, the whole ordeal starts over again. So it got to the point, and this was my method, and this is sad, but it is true. Get him in his crib, and now I'm squatting outside of the crib beside him, and I got my hands on the little rails, right? So I got my fingers on him like I'm checking for a pulse, but it's just so he knows someone's there, right? Finally gets the heavy breath, and you hear him his little kid snore. And you would army crawl, and I'm not kidding, dude. It would take you 20 minutes. This is only like a 10-foot room. It would take you about 20 minutes to army crawl from his crib to get to the door, but you had to do it quiet. Your clothes couldn't make a sound. Everything would wake this kid up. And I mean, so if you put him in bed at 8:15, by the time you came backstairs, you're pissed off. You just want to get something to drink. And I'm like, why am I? Well, I know why I am. It's because this kid will scream and scream and scream and scream and scream and scream and scream until he finally falls asleep. But, like, he would not fall asleep unless he was touching another human being.
Yep. Well, we got a new survey here as far as the quarantine goes. And the survey found that 30% of people who are quarantined alone have left their home to hook up during the lockdown. And just over half of them also had had someone over to their place to get along. 30% of people who are self-isolating alone have had at least one video chat hookup. 78% of people who are in self-isolation with a partner have been having more sex because of the lockdown. Blah, blah, blah. You get the idea. They're just saying that people, if they are going to sneak out and do something, that they're probably going to try to hook up. And with that,
my thought is this.
Well, what else are you going
to
do?
Right. If they say 30% of people have snuck out to have sex, that tells me 30% of people in isolation have been offered sex. Because I'm going to say 100% of the people offered sex are the 30% that snuck the hell out.
I'll tell you who else. Like with the story in England that Mike was telling us about yesterday, Ted, about the bar that got busted. Now, look.
Right.
Now, these guys are sneaking into a bar, all right? This is the regular watering hole. The bar owner is sneaking the fact that the bar is open.
Right.
It's not supposed to be open. Even though those guys, I'm sure their wives technically sort of kind of probably assume where they are.
They know where they are, yeah.
The last thing that, you know, they're going to do is come home and, you know what I mean, and admit it. Or maybe they will and the wife is fine with it, but I doubt that anybody would want someone coming back knowing that they were around 30 of their friends. You might say, like, look, there's only three people in there, you know, not 20.
That's the number of people at the bar.
That's
is
the whole
lie.
Thing. Right. Yeah. Like, trust me, let's not be dumb. Right, this went all across the world. There was plenty of places that were open up on the low, but they had a whole. You have too many people in there. Somebody's gonna find out.
Sure, yeah, and
it's like Como in New York had to call out like basically like Upper West Side. Hey, rich white people, stop this.
Right. Oh yeah. In New York, they were having dinner parties and everybody was kind of. But when you sneak about, it's not something that you want to admit. So you're sneaking
around.
That's
why you're sneaking.
I mean, like, look, in any other world, it wouldn't be a big deal to go over to your friend's house and eat dinner. We do have a story coming up of a guy in England who dressed himself up as a bush to get somewhere in the neighborhood. Not sure if it was to drink with his friends or to hook up with somebody, but the guy would seriously put on a bush outfit and look like a little bush and then, you know, hop between the bushes in the neighborhood and get to where he wanted to go. Because you weren't allowed to leave the house at that point in time in England, period, for any reason whatsoever. So we get this... We get this story, and it's kind of like a it's Slate's version of a sex advice column, and it's called How to Do It. All right. And this letter comes in. It says, guys, I'm having a wonderful affair with a man. We are both married, but we're having an affair, and we're trying to be responsible. It is what we both need to survive in our marriages, and it's what's best for both of us. Without saying too much of our situation, divorce would destroy our big, happy, extended immigrant families. I'm not looking for any more judgment on that. The problem is social distancing because of the coronavirus. Our spouses and kids are now both home full time. Getting away to see each other has been impossible. I'm miserable without the sex and companionship, and so is the man I'm seeing. At one point, he suggested meeting in our cars by the grocery store. I obviously declined. Then today, he called me and said to go to my window and wave to me from his car. We live about two neighborhoods apart. I was moved by the gesture, but it worried me. I feel like I'm on the verge of doing something risky, and all this time with my husband, who is a kind man, is making me want to lash out and tell him I don't love him anymore. And then, of course, Slate gives
us good time.
Yeah, exactly.
Boy, that's a fun, happy story.
Yeah, and that
Jesus.
Isn't that the family dream right there?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Ah, it's what everyone looks forward to.
Oh, I have kids, I have a family, everything's great.
I don't love you anymore.
Uh-huh. Our question, why were you sneaking in or out of somewhere? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, train. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, train, what were you sneaking in or out of?
So, about 10, 12 years ago, where I used to live, there was this beautiful, like, million-dollar home being built. And it was almost done. And my girlfriend and I at the time thought it'd be really fun to go in and check this place out. And we didn't go there just to check it out. We wanted to be the first ones to have sex in this home. So we snuck in there and we had sex all over this brand new home that wasn't even done being built yet.
What room did you guys start in?
We started in the kitchen because the kitchen was pretty much done. We did both the bathrooms. The floors weren't, the wood floors weren't in yet, but pretty much just all over the house.
Man, I would have sex on a pile of cow manure if that's, you know, that's what's available. But granite countertops?
Yes.
Yeah, easy clean.
Mm-hmm. How's the view?
Yeah. the view was amazing.
Yeah.
It was a bit dark, but you know.
No, what I'm saying is normally when they build those size houses, they put them someplace where...
Of course, know, when there's a view of something.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. We found what we assumed was the master bedroom because it was good size and looked like the master bathroom was done. And so, yeah, I had a nice view, and we, you know, had sex right there at a view of the whatever it was. It was dark out, so we couldn't really see what the view was.
Yeah, views kind of suck at night. What, how much time did you guys spend in this house?
Hour and a half-ish, give or take.
Okay. That's not too bad.
Speaking of the master bathroom, did you guys see the story today in Texas where, as far as the Realty Association is concerned, no more master bedroom. It's going to be the primary bedroom.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
I saw that today. Primary bedroom.
The primary bedroom.
Correct.
Okay.
Why were you sneaking in or out of somewhere? 206-421-ROCK.
It only matters if you call the master bedroom, if you call your other bedrooms the slave bedroom. You know what I mean? Like... It's just it's like having a master key.
I call my kids' room, but.
Right. Guest room. Don't call it a master key. This is not a masterpiece anymore.
Can I not masturbate anymore?
No. No, no. It's what am not I doing? Masturbate.
Flogging? What am I?
I'm just baiting now.
Yeah. Baiting.
Good God.
Oh, man. I've been baited in 2 weeks. Kind of losing it. Right. Trying to see if I can pull it off on my own.
What in the hell? Put that in the bait bank. Right.
You are listening to The Men's Room.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Men's Room is in progress. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
FC Barcelona, they resume play on Saturday.
Just stop.
After a three-month break due to the COVID-19. Told you, I got the Spanish version. My Rosetta Stone. It's Barcelona.
It is Barcelona. In fact, I had the opportunity to spend a night in Barcelona. And man,
did you take a bath?
I did not take a bath, but I just remember the cab driver's like, welcome to Barcelona. It's like, God damn it, man, stop it.
People in Barcelona are tough, too, because their Spanish is completely different. Like, not from Spain, because they speak Catalonian as well.
Mm. Right.
Crazy. Luckily
for me, I speak none of it, so it's all the same to me.
I just speak Portuguese, so I had West.
They won 4-0. They say vintage performance from Lionel Messi. What you have to know is that fans are not allowed to attend games due to the coronavirus.
Yeah.
They were still superimposed digitally some way to help those watching at home.
At the Camp Nou.
Yeah, on television there, which is a growing trend. But somehow, one fan still found his way into the stadium and onto the pitch in the middle of the match.
I respect that.
The fan, minutes into the second half, slowly jogged out onto the field and started taking selfies with Barcelona defender Jordi Alba before he was finally escorted away. Where he came from or how he got into the stadium when no other fans were allowed is still unknown. Our question, why were you sneaking in or out of somewhere? 206-421-ROCK.
Some of those European leagues, you can pay money and they'll put a cardboard cutout of you in the stadium.
Wait, I have to pay them money so that I can still not be there.
Correct. But your cardboard cutout will be there, and then I think they send it to you.
I mean, I'm not trying to be this guy.
Look, trust me. I want to look into it. I'm like, dude, so I've been to the Emirates where Arsenal plays, right?
Uh-huh.
But they weren't playing a game. But Cardboard Ted could go.
Cardboard Ted could go.
I'm two-thirds of a way to watch a live game.
How much would this cost you for Cardboard Ted to enjoy?
I'm not sure. Somebody just told me about it like a day or two ago, so I got to look into it. But what, 30? So I think somebody said 30 euros. So what's that, like 45, 50 bucks?
Yeah, a little bit less than that. That's not so bad.
Cardboard Ted goes international.
You know what? It's actually sad. I'm making fun of you about it, and I'm just thinking, who knows what happens with the NFL season? But if they were to play without fans, you'd probably see a cardboard cut out of me at a Ravens game. It's stupid.
Right.
It doesn't even make sense. Well, look, but I would.
And I would pay extra and be like, put me up front. I want everybody in England to see me.
And not only that, but if you're a season ticket holder and you've been on the list or whatever, you still got to pay a little or whatever the deal is, like, you should have your cutout where you sit.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? You're not going to be able to go to the game.
I agree. Sure. Seattle Sounders.
Right, exactly. I mean, put a little cash down.
That's if they play in the stadium, though.
Right.
Like, MLS. Like, you're right. That'd be cool if Sounders, if I could be in my seat.
Mm-hmm.
But they're in Orlando.
But do
the
they
safety
get to,
of a bubble.
Do they get to pick the image of you? Because they might take your hot dog image. That made it to
you
ESPN.
Know what? That'd be classic.
That would actually be kind of cool.
Put it in there. My feet, right, my exactly. Cheeks full of hot dog.
But I like this guy sneaking onto the pitch, because Miles and I, we told the story before, managed to sneak onto an NFL field, which is, it's much easier than you'd think. I'm sure they love me saying this. It's just, we had tickets to the game. I don't even know why we felt the need to go to the field. I have no idea why we wanted to do it, because we had perfectly good seats. It was just a matter of, do you think we can? I think right. That's more or less what it was, and you keep spiraling into the bowels of the stadium. You know, and the deeper you go, the more utility kind of thing it is, and mm-hmm. It's caterers, and I don't know what half these people do, but they have their lanyards. They look busy, and basically, we just imitated them. Walk fast, look angry, and have your lanyard out.
Now, we also had a couple old lanyards from the Ravens radio network.
Right,
kind of
right.
But that doesn't give you this type of access.
No,
to get on
but
the
you guys also knew a couple people. Like, you had a little bit of advantage.
For sure. Until the last,
you had enough that it gave you the confidence to go through with it.
Exactly.
Well, because if not, no. Let's be clear. Beer gave us the confidence to do mm-hmm. it.
We also used to have the president of operations for the Ravens on our show every week.
Chad the Pink.
And a couple other guys. Yeah, well, including Modell, David Modell, who was running it. We knew enough people where if it really got bad, we could go like, hey.
If we got arrested, that was all right. We said, look, if we get arrested, we'll ask that they call these guys, but we just want to get onto the field. And so we did a pretty good job.
David Modell at that point's the owner, or was Art still alive?
He's basically running the program.
He's running. Yeah, Art was old enough that he had kind of passed it down. But we went through the bowels of the stadium, and I mean, no one really gave us a second look. Because again, we're walking the way that everyone around us is walking. You look busy, and I always remember, man, we finally get down to the point, the tunnel that you see players explode out of, it's in front of us. There's a bit of daylight, you can hear the crowd, and there's this one single security guard sitting at the far end of the hall right before you get
at a table
to the field.
To check everybody in.
And this dude had like 70s feathered hair and a mustache. And we walked down.
Complete Dundalk.
We are now just like, look, let's just walk. Let's act like we know what we're doing. And this guy obviously stops us just around the precipice of walking onto the field. Like, guys. And he's kind of smiling. He's like, look, I don't know who you are, but I can't let you out on the field. And we're about to give up and say, okay, because he's not going to press charges or anything. But dude looks at Miles.
But do you remember what he said?
I remember the guy looks at Miles and goes, hey, man.
He goes, are you Steve? And at first, I'm thinking you, right? Mm-hmm. But it'd been probably about 4 or 5 years or 6 years before that when I was on a 70s classic rock station.
Yes.
They gave everybody 70s classic rock names. So, like, the idea back then in radio was if you had, like, a froggy country radio station, it was Johnny Hopalong in the afternoon.
Right, all that dump.
All that crap. Well, same thing with a 70s station. So they gave me the name Steve Austin, which was the $6 Million Man, mm-hmm. which was a very popular show back in the 70s, to go along with this radio station. And he goes...
Also a kind of popular wrestler.
Yeah, well, this is even, you know, right at that point in time, he's breaking out. He goes, are you Steve? And I thought he was talking to you.
Well, me too, because my name is actually Steve.
And he's looking at me, and he goes, you know, Steve Austin. And I was like, yeah, I guess, you know, whatever. Haven't heard that one in a while. And he goes, I want journey tickets from you. And I was like, oh, that's cool. He's like, God.
Seriously. The fact that Miles gave him journey tickets, what, 10 years
right.
before that?
Yeah.
He let us onto the field, which...
Even with a Steve Augury version of Journey. So not like real Journey, but, you know, like almost Journey.
And it's stupid of that guy, because if he had to explain to his bosses, hey, how did you let these guys onto the field? And he's like, because homeboy gave me journey tickets. Like, he'd have lost his job. But we get onto the field, and we're feeling pretty good about ourselves, all right? So we are on the field, and we're on the Ravens sideline. I always remember this. They're playing the Kansas City Chiefs, and we lost on the last play of the game. But
are you at all purple?
No, we weren't all purple, but I'm wearing, it's like a purple, like, windbreaker that says Ravens on it, which... We get on. Shut up, Dad. So we get on to the field.
I just always like the picture of Miles in his leather Fender jacket.
I think he may have had
them. In like the all purple, which when you were wearing it was cool. But like now, it's just kind of like what? Because yeah. It's what? Like, why is the coach with the guitar player?
And we walk out onto the field, and we'd interviewed, you know, a lot of these players before, because we were working on the, the flagship station of the Ravens. Mm-hmm. So we go on the field, and these guys, I mean, they're sweating and breathing hard and all this, and I always remember as a Dallas Thomas was sitting at the end of the bench, you know, 53 players, and he looks at us, then his head snaps back and looks at us, and just, he kind of furrowed his brow in a way that says, how in the hell did you guys get down there? We just kind of smiled, winked at him, shrugged,
and then
so now he just wants to ignore us. Because he doesn't want anyone that works for the NFL to know that he knows us at all, because obviously we're not supposed to be there and nothing good's going to happen.
So then we have this guy come up, all right? Now, this is an official looking guy. He's got a suit on. He grabs us both by the shoulders. We're like, oh, Christ. So he goes, who are you two?
No, he says, what is your function?
That's what it was. What is your function?
Those exact words.
And I turned around and I pointed to David Modell. I was like, we need your help.
And I remember David Modell's in a suit.
He's like, but he's doing business. Like, he's like talking to people.
He's
like,
talking to people on the sideline.
And in your defense, NFL on a college field can be done. NFL is strict.
And it's only because we knew the owner's son. And it's only because he came onto the show. But the owner's son is standing there. And the last person that anybody wants to bother during a football game is going to be the owners, right? I mean, they are
the clients and the whole deal.
So this guy, we're pointing at Modell. And this NFL guy's looking at us like,
uh-huh, you know him.
Basically,
right,
it was this, like, I'm going to go check with him. It's one of those moves.
Yeah.
And I remember we see him walk over. He taps David Modell, and Modell kind of looks a little irritated. You see this guy, he's gesticulating, and then he points at me and Miles, all right? David Modell turned around.
Just got this look on his face like, you suck.
Like, you've got to be kidding me.
What the hell are you
He says whatever he's got to say to this guy. And then angry NFL guy comes stomping back over to us like,
uh-oh.
He says you're okay to stay here. We're like, yeah, that's right. That's right, bitch. Yeah. Kiss my ass.
And then they're like, people catcalling us from the stadium. We listen to the show.
Well, one woman in particular, this is what we hear.
What are you dirtbags doing down there?
How'd you get down there, you scummies?
And they're like, shh. And then we watched the game, and I honestly, so we watched the game from the field, and to be honest with you, the perspective is horrible. You can't really see anything.
It's terrible.
So now the Ravens have just gone up by like 4 or 5 points. All we got to do, and we scored a touchdown. That's the thing, all right? To take the lead, there's like 8 seconds left on the clock. Just do a simple kickoff. We kick the ball off. Who was the guy they called the human joystick? So he's playing for Kansas City at this time. And we go down there, and we demolish this guy. The crowd goes crazy. Well, there's a penalty, so we have to re-kick. And we re-kicked the ball. And I always remember this. Him and Joystick catches the ball again. And we can see
Dante Hall.
We can see the Ravens' protection is now broken down. And this guy, he hits the sideline. And I cannot explain how fast these guys move. We see him running up the sideline. There's no one in front of him. So he's going to get a touchdown. And he's going to beat my team in a heartbreaking fashion. And for like 2 seconds, I honestly considered sticking my foot down and tripping the guy. Which I know is horrible. But I hate watching my team lose. And I really... really thought about it, but then I thought, I don't want to be on ESPN and go to jail and get my ass kicked by Dante Hall. This guy ran by so fast, and I've never had this. This dude ran so fast, there was a breeze behind him.
You couldn't believe how fast it was. Like,
I mean, this guy, he went by.
And gone.
It's like, holy Jesus. Yeah, and we lost the game, but that's the one time we snuck onto the field.
Why were you sneaking in or out of somewhere? 206-421-ROCK.
Oh, let's say hello to Sean. Hello, Sean. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey.
Hola.
Hola. ¿Cómo está?
Yeah, man. Mo Bien.
Bien.
Did you say Mo Bien?
Mo Bien.
Yeah.
He's my old neighbor.
Mo Bien.
Mo Bien.
Mo Bien.
Mo Bien. He lived by me in West Virginia.
I think he played for the Red Sox.
Yeah. You know this. I never paid much as it cost. I had my leather jacket. I just walked in like I owned the place.
Say that again now.
Run that by us.
Queen, I was Larry Queen with that Danny guy. And I didn't pay well until Mike Tyson came to town. It was over.
I'm not sure I understood a word you said.
Yeah, I got the Mike Tyson part. So what did you sneak into or out of again?
The Coliseum. All the time. Every show.
Coliseum. I think it was a long time ago. Every show.
All right.
Oh,
okay.
Gotcha. All right.
We got you.
Okay.
Man, oh, man.
Wow. All right. Well, yeah. I mean, if you know somebody at the door, that's helpful.
I won't say what place it was, but...
I feel like that guy's got a pint of something in his pocket.
Yeah. Oh, he's got to, man. Oh,
yeah. And it's in a plastic bottle.
I had no idea what he was saying. Like, I just heard, tell Mike Tyson. Like, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
There's a place locally, and there was a band playing. Ryan Castle went through great pains to get me and him a ticket to go see this band, all right? So it was problematic. We finally get the tickets. We get there a little bit late, and I remember it was just a pain in the ass, right? Because we were like, well, we could try to sneak in. But we're like, no, man. They've always treated us well. Let's not do that. So anyway, we get to this place. We go to pull out the tickets. The guy working the door knows us. He's like, man, I didn't let you in. I'm like, God damn it, man. We were going to sneak in. We were going to do all this stuff.
Is this the same place I think it is?
Yeah.
No. Okay, no? Forget it. No. I do this at a different place. What? I don't want to give my... I don't want to give everything away here. Yeah.
Don't.
That's why I'm not going to say it out loud.
No. That was not my location.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Sometimes if you know security at certain places, there's that awkward moment where they're like, hey, man, you for real, like, check your pockets. I can't just let you in. You got to go through the line.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let me get...
Right, yeah.
Pull this out.
Let me get this jar of weed out of my pocket.
Yeah, sorry, man.
There's this one thing. There's this one move that I do that's 80% effective 43% of the time. It is... you never know, but I think I'm... You know, I go in with confidence.
Sure.
My last 6 attempts of this, 5 attempts, I think I was escorted out once.
All right. Where at? Right
most of the time... Most of the time... I can pull this off because I don't want to wait in line. And there is a little location by the bathrooms that I sneak into.
Oh, I know exactly where you're at.
You know what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, bro?
I haven't done that.
I've done that once there.
Yeah.
For the same reason, yeah. But not most people don't know about that little entrance is the thing. So kind of wander off, like, you know, smoke a cigarette, kind of go to that entrance and slip in.
Yeah. What's up, sex machine? How you been, man? I haven't seen you in a while.
It works.
What's up, man? Still doing it, huh?
Cool. Well, you remember my story. Me and my buddy Bernie, we snuck on the field at the University of Maryland game.
All right.
Which wasn't that big of a deal, but like it's like a lot of college stadiums. They have like a, Miles, what do you call that? Like, not like a field house, but whatever, like where the team dresses and stuff at the end of the stadium.
Sure.
Maybe it is like a field house. So we kind of figure out a way.
Facilities building is basically what they call it.
So we kind of figure out a way that, like, we're looking over there. And there's not a lot of security back there. So we're just kind of, rambling around the building. So then we get up to the second level where the cameras are. And there's a local camera guy there filming stuff. And he just goes, hey, man, and he just assumed, like, I'm sure you got your badges or whatever. But just so you know, when they kick field goals, they clear everybody off. So we're like, oh, cool.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, man. Yeah.
They go to kick a field goal preemptively. We're coming down the stairs, security coming up, like, yup. And the guy's like, thanks, guys. So then we walk, and we're on the sidelines of the opposite team, right? So the other side. Everything's fine. We had a friend who was a cheerleader at the University of Maryland. We passed her, same thing. What are you two doing down here?
Shh.
We're like, it's fine. It's fine.
Right, yeah.
So we roll by the other end of the stadium. We're waving to my family up in the seats, right? Just having a great time. And then we get to the Maryland bench, and I made the wrong decision. I was thirsty.
You didn't go for a Gatorade.
That's the story.
What are you doing?
You went for a Gatorade?
Jesus
off
Christ,
the table?
Ted.
Of the football team?
Yes.
What, were you drunk?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
And as I'm sipping the Gatorade.
No way.
Right? Then the security is like,
no.
What are you two doing?
You can't drink the team's Kool-Aid.
You drank.
Were you thirsty? Just couldn't resist it?
Honestly, here's the deal.
You just wanted to do it.
Well, I used to dip. So I had to dip it, and halfway through, I just kind of threw it in the grass. So I was like, man, I'm really thirsty. So yeah, I was just like, look at all this Gatorade.
You drank
the And we were confident at this point, right?
Yeah, apparently.
The guy was super nice, though. He just goes, what are you guys doing down here? There used to be a running back named Lamont Jordan. We go, we're friends with Lamont Jordan. He goes, no, you're not.
He played the pros.
Right, exactly. And then the guy, he goes, listen, and he just walks over to stands and like undoes like a thing and just get out.
Just get out of here.
I cannot believe you drank
thick tea.
They're Gatorade.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I mean, we made it all the way around. We've been waving to people. Nobody knows.
So you pretty well did it all anyway. At this point,
we had.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I mean, there wasn't anything else to see.
But to be fair, if you're going to get booted off the field, man, that might be the best reason why.
You're drinking the team's Gatorade.
Well, you know me, man.
What flavor was it?
I think it was classic green.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that was the best part about when we used to go up, when I worked at the sports station with Thrill.
Yeah.
If you went to Ravens training camp, I had never seen this before, but it was like Gatorade on tap. And I remember telling like our buddy Sizz, I was like, dude, we can drink all the free Gatorade we want today.
Hey, listen, if you ever have the opportunity to go to an NFL team facility, my only warning would be this. So when you worked in the media, as we did, you would eat in the same facility as the players. And they'd separate you a little bit, right? So the players are talking their stuff, media guys are doing their stuff, but you still got all of your food and everything from the same place. So
little kitchenette.
They had soft serve ice cream. I'd eaten whatever meal. And man, I mean, you're right. It's like a kid in a candy store. I pull the little lever and my soft serve goes into my little bowl and there's maybe 20 chocolate sprinkles left. So I kind of shake the thing and dump them on
top. Generally, the players are gone by this point, so you feel fine eating.
You know, there's a few left there, but you definitely kind of let them eat first. But so I just kind of empty the sprinkles on top of my soft serve, and I go back to the table and sit down and start eating it. Well, Ray Lewis, fresh off of his murder charges, now he comes rolling in with Rod Woodson, I believe it was.
That dirty stash.
And what I did not know, and most people don't know this about Ray Lewis, my man likes chocolate sprinkles. And apparently everyone knows this except me. So Ray Lewis, and I'm not paying attention to him. He's kind of behind me. I'm talking to people. And you, get them! Who ate those chocolate sprinkles? So I'm looking down at my ice cream like, oh, my God. I got a napkin on top of it, man. And, like, my table just got so quiet. I remember Rob Woodson looked at me and just got this big grin. He didn't say anything, but he knew my ass had him. I did not know. And I'm like, Ray Lewis is going to kill me because I ate some chocolate goddamn sprinkles, man.
Mm-hmm. Ray Lewis, and when you... I asked him a question once, one of the scariest questions I ever asked him. And he was very nice.
You asked a stupid question.
I asked a stupid question, and my knees were shaking.
Yeah, Shannon Sharp would just stand there with his back to you, and then he'd slowly turn around and look at you like, what?
Yeah, you really
do. You know what's amazing? Like, I think the most amazing thing for anybody who could experience just the facilities building of an NFL team or a college team or anything else for that matter that you don't really think about too much, just keep in mind that there's a cafeteria there. There's people there who are cooking all the time, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for these guys. Most of those guys, especially the offensive line, defensive line, they need about 6,000 to 9,000 calories a day.
Watching them eat is actually amazing. Yeah,
just to keep their weight up at that time. That's why when guys are done, they're like, look, man, I need to save my knees. I need to save my life. I need to start cutting some weight. But they're used to doing this. And during practice and during these times, they're burning a lot of that stuff off, too. So when you walk into these places, man, like, the smell is like a steakhouse. And if you walk up, if you walk up and see what they've got as far as the food, you've never seen a greater buffet in your life. You can't believe
it's like Vegas.
You could walk up and take like three filet mignons, a big plate of pasta. There's garlic bread. There's shrimp. There's rice. There's vegetables. There's baked potatoes. There's French fries. There's pizza. There's hamburgers. I mean, it is. I mean, you would never, like, the greatest restaurant in town is sitting in that building.
And you can eat as much as you want.
I mean, and that's just training camp. Because I went and watched the Seahawks practice a couple years ago. Shout out to Luke Wilson.
Yeah.
And then
they had the same thing over there.
They had a Monday night game. So the facility is beautiful. The craziest part is he had to get something out of the equipment room. And I mean, it's like if you're a Seahawks fan, it's like walking into the biggest room and it's all brand new gear. And just, I was like, I wanted to steal something. I'm not going to lie. There was just so much.
To drink the Gatorade.
There was so much gear. I was just like,
you might be the worst person to bring around.
I know, to steal something.
Yeah, and I remember Sean Alexander walked by us and I was just like, what's up, Sean? Like, I know him.
Charlie, shut up, man.
Why are you sneaking in or out of somewhere? 206-421-ROCK. More of your calls on the way. You are listening to The Men's Room.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.